Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Still a lot of questions for markets in the year that was. What exactly do we have to make of the impact of COVID-19 on global markets and the world economy? Can we explain the divergence between how well markets rebounded versus how stuck most economies have been? And also, what is the true state of volatility? And is this an event to be feared or actually to profit from if you know how to trade it? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we are joined by Mr. Nikhil Kamath, who is the co-founder of India's largest retail brokerage, Zerodha, which accounts for about 15% of India's total daily turnover. He's also the co-founder of True Beacon Asset Management Firm, and he's here to share with us his thoughts on how all of these events impact and shape of markets moving into 2021. Mr. Kamath, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health out in Bangalore. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, Nikhil, when we look back at the year that was, the question many people have on their minds with regards to that impressive recovery for markets is whether or not the market rally is sitting on anything sustainable, especially with valuations in the U.S. right now through the roof, and also unprecedented stimulus that's really pushed some of these valuations up or these prices up. Can the same criticisms, though, be levied when looking at the Asia-Pacific markets in this current year, that is?
So, John, I think markets globally have gotten so closely correlated over time that if something were to happen in the US, in turn affects our markets as well in this region. I think micro moves have now started making a difference. So if something like the Dow futures, while our markets are open, were to tick up 1% or down 1%, we are definitely feeling it right now. Liquidity is abundant, but we have to come to terms with the fact that there are repercussions to this. Printing money structurally is also weakening money. Personally, I feel like the chickens will come back to roost, and there will be a point when printing too much money becomes a problem. But we as a world economy are choosing to not recognize that today. I guess only time will tell how this excessive liquidity in the market is maybe beneficial in the short run, but does definitely come back to bite over the longer term.
Right. If there is a bit of a reckoning, though, Nikhil, about this, will there come a point perhaps when markets might need to mop up some of this excess liquidity out there to avoid any particular shocks? This is a question they also raised at the end of the global financial crisis in the previous decade also. Is there going to be a point where that happens, or do you think that markets can tolerate any externalities generated by all of this excess liquidity that, as you said, could cause the chickens to come to roost?
Yeah, I think typically what happened historically is inflation was a byproduct of excessive liquidity. We're noticing that in some emerging markets, but the developed markets have inflation under control for today. But eventually, I think this excessive printing of money will definitely lead to issues of a different kind altogether.
All right. What sort of issues do you think those might be, Nikhil, very quickly?
Well, just the lack of faith in what we today consider, you know, the strongest currency globally, the dollar, or the dollar index weakening beyond a point, I think will in turn have repercussions for a lot of the markets in our region. A lot of us are export-oriented economies, especially Singapore, and a weakening dollar might skew that equation tremendously.
All right. Now, Nikhil, another hallmark of the last year also was the significant amount of volatility that we saw in many asset classes. But a volatility sometimes yields as much opportunity as downside risk. What is your position on volatility, especially the volatility that we saw in 2020? And what were some of the risks and opportunities that arose or might continue to arise should volatility stay at these elevated levels?
So, John, we as a hedge fund at True Beacon are a long short fund. We're playing that arbitrage between betting on stronger companies doing well and weaker companies doing badly. And we, in fact, benefit from volatility. Markets are fairly expensive. If I have to give you the example of India, we're trading at about 36 times earnings today. And at this point, if you have to make a measured bet, to expect for there to be volatility over the next 12 months is probably a reasonably safe bet to make. So we're actually betting on volatility, and we're hoping to benefit from any ensuing volatility when it were to come by.
Now, the year ahead, though, Nikhil, will poised to yield many changes. with a new US president. Mm-hmm. We've got hopes that the pandemic is going to lift. How is this shaping mm-hmm. your outlook for Asia Pacific markets in 2021? And just to extend that, which regions do you think in the space might stand to benefit or be hindered by some of these big changes that we're expecting in the year ahead?
Yes, the incoming Biden administration has a lot of making up to do because they're taking over from the Trump's administration, which ruined relationships in many different pockets of the world. The biggest threat to America, I think, still remains in this region, China. And during Trump's time, we've seen a lot of these economies in Asia Pacific start to depend a bit more on China than they did in a pre-Trump era, you know, when Obama was around, for example. I think Biden will have to make a lot of structural changes to kind of get closer ties between the Asia Pacific and American economies. So he's definitely going to work on it. And if early signs and his appointment of his key officials is something to go by, they're definitely treading in that direction. I think there is a possibility of the US joining the CPTPP, which will be a big deal for the region and counter the RCEP. I think Trump, especially, ruined relationships with South Korea. And I think it's a big pocket of manufacturing, which will again come back into the fray. And closer links to America will ensue shortly. Even somebody like in India, who is hoping to be a big manufacturing hub and catch some of the supply chain inefficiencies, the Western world, for not having to depend solely on China might bring about into the equation. I think India will also benefit from this new presidency, which has come about in America. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens first. I think Singapore has the unique problem where it is a totally export-oriented economy, and they don't have too much innovative technology companies kind of like scaling beyond a point which are native to Singapore. I watched the nanotechnologies IPO recently, and I think that's a step in the right direction for Singapore. And they are cognizant to the fact that they need to do a lot in terms of technology. And I think to a large extent, they have kind of skipped this global tech rally by virtue of not having many big, large tech companies which are innovating right now. So each of us in the region have our own USP, our own pockets of excellence, but a lot that we have to, you know, collaborate with each other, even in the region itself, and learn and pick off each other. And I think a case for greater dialogue has to be made in either way.
Given Zerodha's role as the largest retail mm-hmm. brokerage in India, can you share with us your outlook for Indian markets, which have staged a strong comeback in recent months, especially given it's one of those countries that's been especially and significantly hit by the COVID-19 virus? Are equities on the subcontinent one to watch out for investors in the region as we head into the next year?
So unlike Singapore, John, India has a huge consumption base that could allow for it to be totally self-reliant at some point of time, much like what China is trying to do today. To be candid here, I personally think at a 36 times forward earnings, we are at an expensive point. When you compare it to any kind of time in our history, the historical average multiples have been a lot lower than they are today. That being said, the room and potential to grow in India is significant. We are a young economy. We are a young country with a large population, manifold opportunities. There is this hope that India will become the third largest economy in the world soon. Not going by growth rates of the last couple of quarters, but when you look at a longer term average and direction the country has been leaning towards, I think it definitely has potential. But would I like to come in and buy stocks and run a very vanilla strategy today? Maybe not. Using a hedged vehicle, using long short funds, using funds with some kind of downside insurance might be a better means to approach the markets and valuations of today.
Very quickly, Nikhil, before we let you go, everybody is hopeful that we might see light at the end of the tunnel with regards to the pandemic, especially these vaccines getting rolled out. I believe the Serum Institute in India is also preparing for a massive ramp up of manufacturing. Can you talk to us about whether or not we can set a timeline wherein the vaccines can take effect and perhaps bring back some sense of normalcy to global economies and markets?
I think it would be at least a good 1 or 2 years going forward before normalcy in the truest form returns. Vaccines will definitely help speed in that process. But like we were talking about earlier, for a country with a population as large as ours, it wouldn't be the easiest of thing to kind of disseminate vaccines in different remote pockets of the country. But vaccine, definitely a boon. I think it will speeden up the process of our communities becoming a bit more resilient. But I think the time frame for this will be long. Not just India, but many economies in this region were experiencing some kind of a slowdown pre-pandemic. I'm talking about Jan and Feb when Corona was not really, you know, headlines and we were not all talking about it. I would say the same about South Korea, Singapore, India, Japan to a large extent as well. So we have to be cognizant to how we were performing pre-pandemic. And that would make one wonder if a lot of the demand that has come about in our markets today is pent-up demand, which people were not able to go out and spend, travel, shop. Over the last 8-9 months, are they coming back with a ferociousness and a vengeance today to make up for that? So we have to wait for the next 6 months to watch when things kind of start to begin to normalize, if this trend of excessive demand, which we are witnessing today, will continue or not. I would personally wait for 6 months to 9 months to watch what the economy is already doing outside of external factors to be able to gauge the economy better.
Mr. Nikhil Kamath, the co-founder of Zerodha, India's largest retail brokerage firm, and the co-founder of Truebeacon Asset Management, we thank you so much for spending some time with us today on Money FM 89.3 to share your group's outlook on markets both globally and out in India in the year ahead. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we wish you a great year ahead.
Thank you so much, John. Happy holidays.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.